Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our lives. Have we been trying to be able to say, here's the book, we're going to fit into it, here's the lines that I stay between, and this is the blinders that I will now go along because I have somewhere to go, somewhere to get, and something to accomplish as my life legacy depends on it. Many times as we look over the decades of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, that's exactly what was sold to us. That was what we were told. That was how life played out. Now we look at the year 2019 and we say it is such a 360 difference, we don't even recognize that type of life anymore. Yet, we still have elders on this planet. We still have those who are raising their children, and they're saying they have some aspects of how it used to be, how it is now, and how we'd like it to be going forward. That's vitally important about the topics we'll be talking about today, which my guest is Erica Wilkerson. Her book is Perfectly Imperfect, Breaking Through the Shame, Silence, and Self-Doubt. We'll be talking about abuse, about life, how things work out, how we can care for ourselves, who is really important, and are we giving all of our power out, and what do we do about caring for self? And really, when we look over at the decades, we say, you know what? We are in all of these aspects, and how can we still fully dance in our day? Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Erica. So, don't you think, Erica, that sometimes we say things happened, you know, in the past, and I don't know about you, but you could talk to your elders. I mean, I'm in my 60s and my elders are gone, but, you know, the way they were raised is, you know, that's kind of, we have these imprints in our society still, and we haven't really said, oh, abuse is out there, don't touch me, I got it good, my life is going great, and all these aspects are wonderful. It's not like we could flip a switch. Don't you think in a way we're still phasing through all of this stuff?
Oh, most definitely. Those generational curses, you know, they just kind of linger on until, you know, somebody takes that step forward to try to break this cycle, you
right.
know.
And you
it
know
is just interesting.
Yeah, it's yeah. really cool what you were saying, you know, in your book, Perfectly Imperfect. You know, you shared about what you had in your past, but also, too, knew about what you needed for your present and how to propagate that going forward. I think we're really at that leap point, don't you think?
I think so. I think people have come around a lot, which is a great thing for the society.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's funnier, though, is that we see a lot of people. I live in New Orleans, you know, and the abuse against women here and elders is it's just not good. You know, when you see it on the news and you say, well, what's going on? Are some people not getting the message? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's just a hard topic to talk about because it's emotional and people don't want to be vulnerable, you know. Even with myself and my family, it was my first time talking to my mother about her abuse growing up and what I witnessed, you know, with her.
Right.
And then me, myself, dealing with it as an adult myself. So it's just hard to talk about, I think.
Do you think sometimes, you know, I mean, I've had, you know those ACEs, the adverse childhood events, you've heard of that? You know,
right.
where all of the things that like a... The things that have happened to us in our childhood that were not good, and then that is how it affects your life going forward. They use it as a kind of mental health marker. Well, you know, I can check all of those, and after reading your book, I'm sure you can check almost all of them off, too. You know?
Right.
Right, but the idea is still we're still up there standing and going with the good thoughts. We can still see. We still know that there's something good. Do you think that sometimes the defeat of hope or even the knowing that there is something else out there, in other words, to stand up and still put a smile on your face, but really feel it in your heart, for many, that's so burnt out that they can't even rescue that anymore?
Exactly. And that's why I try to focus on self-care with women now, because that's one of the big things. You know, we always push ourselves to the side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're taking care of everybody else. We're going to work. You know, we got the kids, you know, and then we just forget about our own ambitions and, you know, our own wants and needs.
Right.
And they get pushed to the side. And you kind of get lost in that tunnel, you know.
Yeah. But you know what, and I think you can probably attest to this, is that when you grew up with a lot of issues in your home, don't you think that when we maybe got into our 20s or 30s, we said, I didn't even know that this other life existed. I thought what I had was normal, and look it, I'm so far from it. Do you think that realization is when people kind of like, it almost like blows your mind, and you can either then choose to commit suicide, you can turn around and take drugs, you could turn around and just everything in your life implodes. Don't you think that realization is really what says, oh my gosh, what happened to my identity? I don't know who I am now.
Exactly, because that's what happens. You grow up, you go off to college, you start meeting other people with different lifestyles and how they grew up. And you start to figure out, like, oh, wow, okay, what was I going through then, you know?
Yeah. And what do you think, like, in your stories that you found going through that? Because I think that's really important. You know, I've shared many times on the radio, you know, when I went to college, I came from a very tiny rural community, very, very small.
Okay.
You know, up in the mountains in Pennsylvania, and I got dropped off with two suitcases in the city of New Orleans in the 70s. I mean, like, you know, it was like my whole world just imploded, and it was like, whoa, okay, you know. So
yeah, culture shock, huh?
Yeah, and I think, too, is that it really sets people up in their life to having a very difficult life at times, but also, too, it also sets them up to not really knowing, having any kind of rudder to their ship, don't you think?
Exactly. And I think that's how what happened to me myself, because I went straight to the military right after high school.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, meeting new people from all over the world was just different. And, you know, I'm supposed to be this strong, you know, girl in the Army, you know, but then living the life behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what? This is really important. I wanted to talk to you about for a second, Erica, is when you go into the military after having a really, really hard, hard life and dysfunctional mm-hmm. life, and you see abuse, and you see guns, you see fighting and everything, how do you end up in a place where you're going to be doing the same thing, guns and fighting again?
Right, because like I always said about that, you know, those generation curses, it was instilled in me. I thought I was running away from that, but obviously that was my comfort zone to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I had to figure out.
Yeah, do you think in a way, though, it kind of like, in other words, you know, I thought about this when I was reading your book. Again, your book is perfectly imperfect. And when you said about going into that just now, I went, oh, that's it. It's sort of like, well, the violence in your house, you saw it and you brought it forward and you didn't think it was anything different. But then when you went into the military, you said, oh, it must be okay because the government says so. Society,
right.
Says, you know, we're great people. So violence and guns and everything must be all right. We must be held out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're good people. And
exactly.
Don't you think, in essence, where we are now in 2019, they're saying people from the military are PTSD because they're knowing something different now.
And right, and I'm so happy that all these studies have been done to bring all this to the forefront, you know, because it's been so ignored, the mental health, especially of, you know, military people have been ignored.
Yeah. How does it get justified? Do you know what I mean? In other words, how does violence, did you see, get justified? You know what I mean? Going forward.
I think because, like, people are not all one thing, you know? You see all the different sides of a person. So, you see the good parts of them and you can't really understand that, you know, where this bad part of them comes from, you know, especially like when I married my first husband. You know, he was this wonderful man. He was military also, upstanding, well-loved, well-liked by his friends, you know, at his coworkers, you know, and that's the person who I had fell in love with, you know, this nice, caring person who was given, you know, put me first, you know. And then things turned. I missed some red flags along the way, you know.
Do you think that in a way we sometimes take, what's the first thing that we feel like we need, and that's safety and security? You know, safety and security,
right.
Safety and security. And then it goes into stability. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, those three S's, I think almost everyone that comes out of a home that says things were like on rocky ground, those are the first things they're looking for. And they will say, it doesn't matter if it's a cement block in the ground. If it gives me safety, security, and stability, I'm staying there, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's part of what the Army offered me. I knew that I would be taken care of. I knew I had money coming in. I knew I had shelter.
Right.
You know, I wasn't really alone, you know?
Yeah. And then also, too, what the military gives you is it gives you people to have your back.
Right.
So that's your stability, right? So
right.
And that's the fourth S. That's the fourth S, support. So we gave you, you know, safety, stability, security, and support. And almost, in essence, it's almost like saying, I don't even know how you moved through that, because, in essence, that almost has a hold on you and says this is your identity. What do you do when you're saying this is not the me?
Right. So I could tell that I was getting into a depression, and I just knew that I had to do something different. So I started writing, doing journaling is what helped me start to see my truths. It started to really have me take a hard look at myself, you know. So journaling was a big factor.
Let's talk about that, about journaling. When people are saying they write things down, and I know this from own experience, when you write things down and you're in an abusive relationship, or other people are on the outs and you're trying to do something for yourself and they find your stuff, let's talk about that. When they find, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times people will say, I'm not speaking out. I mean, even for you to write this book, you know, and me to do this radio show, I'm not speaking out. You know, I'm the keeper of the secret, so to speak. And I will never, ever share my life because it was so intertwined with others. Don't you think that's difficult?
Oh, it definitely was. And that was a hard task that I had to get over, because I kept thinking about, oh, well, what is he going to think when, you know, when this comes out? Or, you know, I kept thinking about the other people. But then I knew that there were other women that I've talked to throughout my years, from being, you know, a medic in the military, that their health and stuff was failing because they had these holding these secrets in that hurts you internally, you know, and it comes out in other ways. So I knew that there were other women that needed to hear this from someone like me, you know, someone that on the outside looks like they have it all together. But no, I was actually dying on the inside, you know. So I needed to get this out for myself as well as for other women.
Yeah, because I think sometimes when we use the word perfect, I almost don't even, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was always dressed up, and when I left the door, I had to be a perfect reflection. But, you know, when you get inside the door, it was hell on wheels kind of idea, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And the idea, you know, even, you know, in my 20s and 30s and even 40s, people would say, oh, you look so perfect. You must have never had anything go wrong in your life. And I'm going, who are you talking to? You know, sort of like, or, you know, people would say something. I'd say, well, what house did you grow up in, you know? And it's sort of like, it's sort of like, well, just because I have on some nice clothes because I wish to take care of myself does not mean that all of my dogma from the past was perfect. But I think sometimes we tend to judge people on their outside appearance, and we believe everything's hunky-dory. And you know what kind of scares me is when people say that, you know, fake it till you make it idea.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I hate that thing.
I know. It's so ridiculous, you know? And it's sort of like, well, if I feel like wearing high heels and a short skirt today and a tank top, it's because I feel like it because I want to. It isn't because I have an ulterior motive of something else. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to do something for yourself, you know?
Right. And don't you think when people say fake it till you make it, I still hear that. I mean, I had someone tell me, probably not even, it was just a few months ago, they said, you need to blah, 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 because you're going to do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, huh? You know, it was sort of like I needed to qualify or quantify myself so that I could show up for others. And it was like,
yep.
Isn't ourself good enough as we are?
Yes, most definitely. And like I said, that's why I institute self-care. And like you got to get those negative people out your circle, you know, especially when they're always, you know, on that thinking negative or like you said, that take it till you make it is not good. That's what got you in this place in the first place.
Right. Let's talk for 1 second about this, is that I see a lot of people and they will say, oh, well, I got it. And they're almost like taking it to the nth degree of self-care, or they're taking it to the nth degree of their own power. And they're almost being the other end of abusive. In other words, they're saying, you have to see me as I am and ba-boom, here I am kind of idea.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
And we've seen a lot of these women, you know, when they say, well, I'm the powerful one, I'm this, I'm that, and they hold themselves out as. And I always say, can we just be in the silence of who our essence is, and that's just as well, instead of having to be always, you know, in other words, I got to go out and I got to do all these things so that I can show up. Don't you think sometimes
right.
that's opposite end?
It is, and that can be just exhausting as well, too, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you're always putting on airs for, you know, and trying to show up to prove that you are okay, or prove that, hey, my life is going just fine, you know, especially like in this Instagram age of, you know, everybody's posting these pictures of all the good stuff, you know, but we don't get to see what's behind all those pictures, you know, or how many thousand times they had to take that picture just to get that one perfect shot, you know?
Right. And you know what, too? I think sometimes, you know, I used to do a lot of photos and I'd put them out on Twitter. And someone said to me, oh, my gosh, you could have gotten a better picture, you know. You see that little spot there that doesn't belong there, you know, maybe go back. Or they would say, oh, that it looks kind of fuzzy or whatever. And I said, that's because the tree is breathing, okay? Leave it alone. You know, it was almost like, you know, I mean, I think the idea.
I'm sorry, that was just too real for you. I'm sorry.
Right, that's right. And I loved it on your book, you know, when you have the picture of the leaf. I absolutely loved it. You just showed how the light comes through, and the leaf is just showing it as it is. It was just a great picture. And I think sometimes we say, gosh, can we stop with that? I don't know if we'll ever stop with that. Do you think we will?
I don't know, but I think eventually it's going to have to, because people are going to get burnt out on that.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's tiring to try to keep up airs and try to look perfect and, you know, try to keep everything in line. You know, you wear yourself out mentally, emotionally. You know, it's unhealthy.
You get sick and you hit the wall. That's what happens.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talk for a second about the word shame. You know, I always say shame is almost what other people try to put upon you. Shame does not really come from inside, I don't think. I think it's a reaction to from the outside. You know what I mean? So
I definitely agree with that.
Right. It's sort of like, do we really have to buy their crap that they're dishing out? You right?
Right.
Right?
I think it makes you uncomfortable when people, you think that somebody's looking at you a certain way. And then so you feel like you can't be open and honest because you already know that they're going to have this opinion of you, so to speak. But I just think we just need to live in our own truth.
Yeah. Then what does that really mean about living your own truth? Because you know what? Sometimes people would say, you know, I've heard it all my entire life. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. I can tell you more than my fingers and toes. I've heard that in my whole lifetime. And it's like, oh, okay, finally, whatever, you know. You know, I'm just going to keep hearing it. And like in the beginning, it would be like, well, trying to figure it out. And then you'd be like, well, what did I do wrong? And then it finally be like, well, how do I get to be like you? And it's sort of like, I had one guest on here, and I will never forget. She she talks to ghosts, and she's in her book. It said, "Fly your freak flag." Her name was Conchetta. and you know what I said to her? I said, "Yeah, be unique as possible." And I think almost when we talk about that, we say, you know, when people say things to us, say, "Fantastic! I am so unique, isn't it fantastic?" And isn't that where we're trying to like bring that stuff? Like what our truth or our essence is about? Like what does that even look like?
Yeah, I just think that it's just being at peace with yourself, you know, and not having to be, just you're okay with not being that, being imperfect, you know, mm-hmm. and not having to put on those airs. I think some people just take it, I don't know, I guess too far with, I just think it's the part where they're trying to proclaim it too much.
Right.
I think one person said that, you know, confidence is silent, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes, too, you know, we see a lot of times people are saying they've got their banners, you know, and they ordered all their T-shirts with all their names on, you know, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, she's the leader of the gang kind of idea. And
Right. We
also look at that, too, and we say, are we looking to follow others to show us how to do it? Or can we say, I see you, and I can understand and kind of scan your idea, and then you take it and you find what works for yourself. Isn't that more the way that we're really trying to do it? Because we weren't really all meant to be... you know, all of these, take one woman off of TV or off of the radio and say we all want to be like them. We don't really want to be all like them, but in essence,
right.
Don't you think people are trying to do that?
They are. And I think it's rooted in the thought that, you know, that they are not enough, you know, for whatever reason that they feel that they are not enough necessarily aspiring to be, you know, that, I guess the pick me syndrome, you know. Hey, here I am, you know, pick me, you know, I am good enough, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like let's all suck on the same Kool-Aid. Let's talk for a second about getting away, Erica. You know, the idea of people will say, I left a boyfriend, I left a husband, I left a family, I left whatever. And they say, because I want to get my power back. And I always say to them, oh, heck no. I do not want whatever they think they have of mine. I'll create my own power from inside myself. Do not give me back whatever you've changed. And don't you think that sometimes people are getting out there, I'm getting my power back from them, and it's almost like a vengeful thing, and it's really not growing from inside of you. You're almost still got that vengeance.
Right. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's rooted out of anger and trying to prove something, when I think people forget about their own strengths in the midst of that, and that's why you have to take that moment to, I believe in meditation also. That has been a big factor for me also moving forward in my life. Just having that quiet time to yourself to reflect and to actually not and have to be so reactive, you know.
Right. How about the idea when we have to ask for help and people say, we're asking for help, I'm asking everybody I know, and I'll say, you ask people you don't know. Because the ones you ask who you know, those are people invested in keeping you where they are. In other words, if you've got all these girlfriends and you all go out to lunch and, you know, you have four or five glasses of wine in the afternoon, but now you decided not to drink, well, do you think they're going to be your friends anymore? Like, no way, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so
they have their own vested interest in how you are and what people are portrayed around them, you know?
Yeah.
And those, you have to get those negative people. People are not going in the same direction that you're going after life, you know. Or else you're going to stay in that stuck, in that stuck position.
Yeah. And you definitely can take out casualties along the way. I think sometimes casualties along the way, it's almost like I'm not going to say it's a badge of honor, but I'm going to say it's a badge of honor because it's almost like, okay, I don't need that anymore. It's almost like, almost like you can see the badges falling off of you. You don't, these people that were sucking the life out of you or you were tethered to them for some reason, do you think that sometimes when those badges start to fall off, you're going, you feel easier and lighter each day, and then it's easier to just move through your life? Sometimes when the old stories and the old baggage and all that stuff, it's sort of like, oh my gosh, it's just too much. Yes?
Yeah, because, you know, they weigh you down, and then you start to you start to resent them, you know, because they are in your life and you haven't got rid of them. You know, sometimes it's okay to be selfish. You know, that's what I tell some of my clients, you know. It's okay. And I love telling them to say no, you know.
Right.
You don't always have to go where everybody wants you to go or do what everybody wants you to do. It's okay to say no. It's very liberating to say it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the idea of what happens when you look back and you kind of are on this lone little island by yourself. Can you say that life is okay at that point?
I think so. I know for myself, I have gotten to the point that I am okay with being with Erica, you know. I finally know who she is, what she wants out of life, and, you know, where she's going. And I think that's, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, it took me a long time to get to that point. But, yeah, you need to be okay with being with yourself.
And I think also, too, to be okay with the idea that something else is going to come along. Because if you think you reached the pinnacle, good luck with that story. You know, it's sort of like someone else is going to show up and they're going to have a whole other gam of, you know, baggage. And they're going to show up at your door and they'll look pretty and they'll be a nice fluffy rose and taste like candy cotton and all that other stuff. But then all of a sudden, you'll say, now it's the next lesson for me to learn. Now it's the next thing for me to engage with. And say to bring it on instead of running away from it, yes?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Because you have to continually, this is an ever-evolving process of, you know, learning yourself, getting to know yourself, and recreating yourself all along. So there's going to be definitely trials to go through, but you just have to stay firm and, you know, go back to your core beliefs and remind yourself of those along the way, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a challenge, I think, sometimes when people say that, how do I get started? And your book, again, is perfectly imperfect, and you share a lot of steps in here how to get started. And it's to be able to say, be truthful with yourself. And it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong or that you're a horrible person or you did bad things. It's sort of like, well, cool. Yeah, I divorced him. Fantastic, you know?
Right.
Hey, yeah, I got in that wreck. Oh, cool. I'm still alive. In other words, take whatever that shows up and say fantastic to it and say, because you're still here. Isn't that the way to celebrate the past going forward?
Most definitely. It's even, you know, you go through things and you forget that, you know, hey, you stuck it out and you overcame that. People, we don't give ourselves enough credit, you know. We go into, like, I went into, like, a survival mode during that time.
Right.
And I just knew that I had to, you know, overcome because my son was a motivating factor for me also during that time. I didn't want him to be in an unhealthy environment either.
Right.
So you have things around you that will prompt you to and give you strength to keep going.
Yeah, I think sometimes the idea when you start to speak out or you start to feel like you want to just get out of the shell or the stuckness that you've been in, it truly is very, sometimes you get burned, sometimes you get hurt right out of the gate, and that makes a lot of people go back in. And I think sometimes when you get burned and hurt right out of the gate, it's sort of like when you say, I see the fire, let me go through it and keep showing me until I'm on the other side, is almost the best way to look at it because it will
really
still
is.
Always show up, don't you think?
True. That's true. like they say, you got to go through the valley. You don't stop in that valley. You have to go through it, you know, to get to that other side. And like for me, myself, if I got divorced from my husband, guess what I did? I ran into that other brick wall, which was my fiance was another bad relationship. Why?
Right.
But
don't
had,
you think
you know,
from every single one of those, if you look at that time, it seemed like it was a bad place to be. It was horrible. It was wrong. But if you can look back in reflection or retrospect now, can't you say, I learned this from that, so I'm thankful for that process?
Yes, and that's exactly what I tell people. I said, it had its purpose to what I needed to see at that moment. And at that moment, that's what I needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely appreciate the trials that I have gone through, because they make you more of yourself. You learn more, and the only way you can improve is to go through some trials and get over them. That helps you to build your confidence, and you let you know what you're made of.
Yeah. You know, I cannot wait until society blows it away that says that you're supposed to be in a relationship from a certain age till the day you die, because that whole concept is almost, we grow together, but you're still growing within the same highway with side rails. It's sort
right.
of like, do you want to explore the good, the bad, and the difficulty of life? That's a life well lived, versus just to say, we will grow forth going straight up to heaven or whatever, you know? And
right.
sometimes, many times people will say, but that's the road I want to be on. I'll say, okay, fine, that's fantastic, that's for you. However, this is what I choose. I want to bump into the side. I want to get in a wreck. I want to go over the edge, you know? I want to feel all that. Because really, isn't it sometimes?
Because that's part of living. You have to feel and experience.
Yep. It wakes up all of those pieces of you that are just like, wow, don't you think?
Yeah, because how do you know what you're really made of if you're never challenged, you know?
Yeah. It's tough for
people. Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
I was just picking back in off that, you know, you have to be, for me myself, I love a challenge. Hence, you know, why I joined the Army, but, you know, it just, like you said, it gives you that aliveness to yourself, and, you know, makes you so proud of what you can accomplish once you, you know, force yourself to have a challenge, you know, or go through a challenge or get over a challenge, you know?
Definitely an exciting way to live. And I think sometimes when we look back at our childhood and we say we had all those difficult times, I'll say, well, we were just getting ready for the challenges at that time, and we made it through, and we're still doing it. And I think that's the greatest part of our life, yes?
Oh, yeah. You have to keep moving forward. It's worth it, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Erica, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Oh, sure. I have my website, PerceptiveLivingNow.com, and also my book is available on Amazon, Perfectly Imperfect. And, of course, I'm available on all the social medias, Perceptive Living.
Very good. Well, Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. I think sometimes when people say, I'm scared, I'm afraid, and we just gave them a few extra steps to say, it's okay, stand up and celebrate it, right?
That's right. And my motto is, you know, first you have to treat yourself as well as you treat others.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much today for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette.
If you'd like to find out more information about Erica Wilkerson, again, her book is Perfectly Imperfect, Breaking Through the Shame, Silence, and Self-Doubt. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information to go directly to her website. And it truly is about being able to say, where am I today? I think I need to get shaken up, I need to get shaken out, and I need to be able to move on. How can you start with those steps? Check out her book. She has a lot of great steps in here, how to be able to move through things. And definitely in the back of the book, there's a lot of space where you can write your own story. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.